Okay, joining me today on the program is Mimi Alaham, or Syrian Girl, or my friend. And lovely shirt you have there. High-tech
Thank you.
terrorism is still terrorism.
Yes, you
Where'd you
can
get
get
that?
it from Ryan Dawson,
Oh, that's
if you've
right. You
heard
can
of
get
him.
them from me. I love that, though. I made that when they bombed the wedding party in Yemen that killed 15 people and then another car. And the parliament there actually outlawed the drones, which lasted about 28 days before the Americans said F you and started doing it anyway. So, but
Amazing.
yeah, but actually not surprising.
Speaking of which, I know that the Iraqi defense minister recently actually said that US airstrikes were violating Iraqi sovereignty. These are the recent airstrikes in Erbil and Mosul.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like the US has ever listened to Iraq, right?
Precisely.
But it just shows that, oh, rule of law, that only counts when it's coming from our mouths, sort of thing. But yeah, let's talk about Iraq and the recent developments there with ISIS. But I think we have to rewind a little bit because a lot of people are missing the picture. If you start the story in the middle, it's real clear. Oh, they're bad guys, they cut heads off of kids and da-da-da. Yeah, they are horrible, but when they were in Syria, they got full support from the US and a number of other countries.
That's what gets me, the fact that the media is now really highlighting the horror that ISIS is. But in 2012, when ISIS wasn't even in Syria, when the FSA was conducting beheadings, when they were allowing 10-year-olds to chop off heads, we weren't, the mainstream media wasn't talking it up. You know, they weren't highlighting it as much as they are when it comes to ISIS. The only time, you know, if you compare ISIS and their barbarism to the barbarism of the FSA, you know, the FSA who ate people's hearts, who beheaded people and are pictured roasting heads, who, you know, very recently in Daraa, where the FSA changed names to the Islamic Front, very large factions of the FSA defected to the now Islamic Front. In Daraa recently, there was a video of them where they got a bunch of people, of women and children, to stab a prisoner to death. So, you know, what about that video? I mean, why isn't that video being highlighted?
Or they actually cut the throats of infants. If you remember the first massacre in Aleppo, I believe it was, the first time they blamed it all on Assad, of course, but they said, well, how come there are hand-to-hand knife wounds if it's artillery fire?
So yes, they said it was artillery.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, that's a very valid point. We see the same kind of horror, but when you cross that magical line between Syria and Iraq, and it's done in U.S. interest to destabilize Syria, then the press didn't have a problem with it. John McCain went and met with them. Well, he met with ISIS figures in Syria who are also doing the same kind of behavior. Totally barbaric. And you see this double standard. You see it, well, also in Ukraine where they're killing civilians, or they blame the ethnic Russians for shooting down a plane, even though the evidence doesn't even fit with that. And yet the Israelis murder thousands of civilians. 80% of all their casualties in Gaza have been civilians, of hundreds of children. And they're not talking about sanctions on Israel. Instead, they give them money. Yeah.
I mean, 80% of the casualties, in, as you said, in Gaza are civilian. And in Syria, I heard a statistic that 30% of those that died are civilians. And yet, you know, it's Syria that they claim is targeting civilians, whereas for Israel, they say that these are, you know, precision strikes and
human shields.
Human shields are being used, and that's the cause of all of this death. So,
oh,
it's
very
so interesting.
Bogus. Israel's been ethnically cleansing Palestine for decades. They've never had a problem killing civilians, but that's the most taboo subject. You can't talk about the Israelis, of course, untouchable. But now we have ISIS in Iraq. Oh, we should say back in Iraq. And
Well, they never left, really, technically.
that's
I mean, they
true.
started in 2006. They were called ISI back then, and yeah, it was they moved from Iraq to Syria, and maybe there was a lot of sleeper cells because suddenly ISIS was everywhere, all of a sudden.
Yeah, they're the new Al Qaeda, the new boogeyman. But now, recently, they were bombed limitedly by Obama under a humanitarian pretext. We know that's not true. That's not the reason why the US is bombing ISIS in Iraq.
Well, supposedly they care about the Yazidis and the Yazidis getting ethnically cleansed, but why would they care about the Yazidis getting ethnically cleansed when they haven't been batting an eyelash about Christians in Syria getting slaughtered or Alawites getting slaughtered or Palestinians getting slaughtered? Of
Or
course, it's not
Christians in
about
Iraq
that.
getting slaughtered too, or
Precisely.
any other minority. But it reminds me of the original invasion, not the original, the second Gulf War, the one in 2003, where one of the excuses after the weapons of mass destruction myth ran their course was, "We're liberating the Kurds," when many Americans had never even heard of Kurds, or they didn't know, well, they didn't know the Yazidis either, but. Or the liberating women in Afghanistan. They said it was for women's rights, and yet they didn't build any schools, girls' schools, or anything like that. They've been liberating heroin. But what we see in
Very much
Iraq
so.
is a regime change because Maliki's out. He would not sign on to the status force agreement that the US wanted. And I mean, he's a
He's a
nepotist and
traitor. Let's
he's a
just.
traitor and he hoarded a lot of money and he's a criminal. But he just wasn't criminal enough, I guess.
No, I guess not.
And
And
so
it's
ISIS has
very
provided a
interesting
pretext.
that the US said they specifically didn't act against ISIS until Maliki would step down. Like they asked Maliki to step down, another regime change, and they didn't act against ISIS until he stepped down. And when they do act against ISIS, I think that they're not acting against ISIS. What they're really doing is they're drawing the borders of the Islamic State. Because Islamic State is okay in Mosul, but it's not okay in Erbil. It's okay in the regions designated where the Sunni state in a balkanized Iraq is going to be, but it's not okay in what the Kurdish state is going to be. And if it gets close to US bases or oil interests, then it's a problem. But they want to contain it in, and really the end objective, which they've always been saying, if you read between the lines or even if you pay attention, is that they would like to create three different statelets in Iraq.
That's
And they
right.
want to do the exact same thing to Syria. That's
And this
always
was
been the
written
plan.
before, way before 2003, with the Kurdistan in the north and the Shiite region in the east and the Sunnis in the south. And it wasn't even an American plan, it was an Israeli plan, Uned Yenin. Of course, when you say Israeli plan, that might as well be an American plan. But that was the
Yeah.
divide and conquer. And so we definitely are seeing this balkanization. And I talked to Pepe Escobar yesterday, and he compared it. He was there for shock and awe, and he said they obliterated a city in hours. But the bombing of ISIS, when Obama's talking about dragging out for months, if they really wanted to end that, it could be done in hours. And so that walking that kind of fine line to prolong conflict, and on global research, they're saying to give pretext to get boots on the ground back in Iraq, because that's a very, very hard sell on Americans who do not want to reinvade Iraq. Absolutely not.
Do you really believe that they're going to have a lot of boots on the ground in Iraq? I mean, to me, it doesn't seem likely because the US public will be so against it. But secondly, I don't see how they could benefit so much in doing so because they've already created the chaos. They've already created all of these sectarian militias in Iraq. And they can pretty much can now, even without the boots on the ground, they can get the state balkanized
Well,
just
our
like
boots
that.
are our CIA boots. The
Yeah, for a
Kurdistan
couple of hundred
is
people, but we're
the
talking like tens
Benghazi
of
of Iraq.
thousands.
Yeah, and I think it would be a very hard sell, but these people are crazy. But the American people are just not going to stomach the army returning to Iraq. But
Haven't they
mercenaries
sent
and others can
already?
do it. They never really left. They
Yes.
still had thousands still remaining. They recategorized them. They redefined what counts as a combat troop. And so, if they can keep the balkanization the way it is with airstrikes, then they'll do it. But if
I
they
think
can't,
so.
they'll think of something to get their boots back there because they still want to control Iran, Syria, and Iraq.
Would be extremely difficult to put, I mean, to create a scenario where there was like 160,000 US boots on the ground in Iraq and a full-blown occupation. I cannot envisage it, but I've been shocked before.
I'm shocked there
But
are even airstrikes in
yeah, no, there's been airstrikes going on in Iraq since even before 2003. There's no stopping them. I think that also, the population in Iraq are not pro ISIS. They some of the militias, the Sunni militias from the occupation that resisted the occupation, like Jaish Naqshbandiya, have started to fight ISIS in Mosul. But
That's what Pat
that's the
Buchanan
point
said
is.
too. The same what you're saying, they basically are surrounded. Syria, it can't stand them. Most of the Sunnis, the stronger ones, they don't want them. The Kurds don't want them. Nobody around there wants ISIS. And
What's
so,
keeping them alive? That's the thing. What's
well, where did they originally get all their training and money? You know.
exactly?
But their
That's
own
the question that has to
barbarity
be
turns
asked.
the world opinion against them. But that's something else I wanted to ask you about. But first, you brought up another interesting point about the airstrikes, because Assad had airstrikes on ISIS yesterday, and you'd have to look for it to know about it.
You are absolutely right, and I really want to talk about this. Thank you for bringing it up, because the only mainstream media story I found about, and I'm not talking RT, RT did something about it. The only mainstream media article I found that covered it was Reuters Gulf, and it was very, very interesting because on Twitter someone started a rumor that the attack was done by the US government and not the Syrian government, which turned out to be completely false. It was denied by the Pentagon, it was denied by eyewitnesses, and of course, the Syrian Air Force campaign is ongoing and it's across the whole country, and it fits in with the fact that ISIS is trying to take over Tabakka Air Base near Raqqa in the north of the country. So, but the because this rumor occurred, some of those people who have been pushing for or promoting intervention in Syria by the US were cheering the airstrikes, and one such journalist named Carol Malouf, who is in Iraq right now, said that the bombing of ISIS in Raqqa was extremely specific and targeted and accurate, when she believed that it was done by the US.
Right.
And when you read the Reuters version of the story, you get a quote from some guy, unnamed source, that, 70% of the targets were civilian. So if it's considered a US bombing, then it's accurate and precise, and hardly any civilians died. But if it's a Syrian government bombing, we've got to condemn it. They're just targeting civilians. They're just totally.
And if it's an Israeli strike, you blame the victims.
Yeah, exactly. If it's an Israeli strike, why didn't they get out of Gaza? Why do they live there? They should just disappear.
Palestinian ha suicide houses are running into Israeli missiles.
It's interesting that the journalist that, I believe it was the BBC journalist, that he said he had seen no evidence of Palestinians being used as human shields, got kicked out of Gaza by his. Maybe you have a better memory for names than I do, to be familiar with
I
it.
don't know if it's the same person, Nick, from MSNBC, NBC reporter, who spoke Arabic, and he had covered, I think, the Gulf War and some other things. Anyway, he was on the beach when the children were bombed or were hit with mortar
That was a
rounds,
second journalist that they kicked out of Gaza.
and they replaced him. And they said,
Yes.
"Well, we're pulling you out because it's not safe." But then they replaced him with someone else who didn't speak Arabic or anything. So it was basically saying, "Shut your mouth, son. You're not supporting the state line." But kids playing soccer, four kids playing soccer, and that's just a little. It's one of many, many tragedies in that slaughter.
Well, absolutely. The reason though that they were bombing the beach, which is never covered in the mainstream, is that they are blockading the beach to stop Palestinians from fishing and feeding themselves. And it's basically like a controlled starvation and ethnic cleansing campaign. And if anyone had the guts, they would report the deaths of those four children in that context. But that's not what you hear.
Oh, of course, never. I mean, why are they sitting out there? The blockade is ne was never mentioned in the narrative of Gaza. It was just three Israelis died, three teens. One was a 19-year-old sniper in the military, but three settlers were kidnapped and murdered. And so they collectively, in Hebron, by the way, in the West Bank, and they collectively condemned all of Gaza for it. And then Hamas. It wasn't even Hamas, but other factions started firing rockets after the Israelis went in, raided 700 homes, killed 10 Palestinians, and destroyed two homes completely to provoke a reaction. And
And
then
took like 800 and kidnapped 800 kids or so, I
and put
also heard.
another 250 people in jail without a trial. Some of them are still in jail. And so that is why the rockets are firing. They're not even rockets either. I mean, there's so many lies you can't even dig through them all. But the
So the
fact that
other,
there's a
sorry, go ahead.
blockade and that there's still home demolitions and racial colonies for the chosen race of God in the West Bank, you hear people like Sean Hannity say, "If an intruder came in your house, what would you do?" You're like, "Well, I'd defend myself." I'm like, "Does this intruder have a bulldozer?" That's what I would have asked them.
Well, who's the intruder? Clearly, Israel is the intruder. Clearly, the
Exactly.
settlements are illegal.
And so is the blockade. But they just
Does
did.
his, does it apply? Yes, it does apply. And yes, you have a right to defend yourself.
Yeah, you should have. They have every right to fire rockets at people ethnically cleansing them. But that's where we go on there. But the theme of this talk is hypocrisy. Three Israelis died, that's sad. But did you see how much news coverage that got when three Israelis were kidnapped and killed? How many Iraqi children, Syrian children, Afghani children have died? That same week, even. And where
There
are
was a
their names, and where
Palestinian
is that
child
coming?
that was kidnapped that week, that same week, and he was tor burnt to death by the settlers.
Yeah, a
So.
Jewish terrorist burned him, forced him to drink gasoline, tortured him, and burned him alive. And then the IDF beat up his American cousin on film. And like Ferguson, they're not going to be held accountable.
It's the name of the reporter that they pulled out is Jeremy Bowen, and he was quite a senior reporter. And also there was another CNN journalist that was pulled out because she said that Israeli citizens that were watching the bombing of Gaza threatened to destroy her car if she said the wrong words, and that those people were scum. She tweeted that. Next day she was out of Gaza. So yeah, definitely there's a lot of control over what
Well,
people are
ABC
saying.
censored the mother of one of the teenage victims. She was saying it's horrible and to get the people responsible, but not to have collective punishment. And they cut her off. She said it. Well, when she spoke English too. So when she said it in English, they cut her off. But in Haaretz and in some of the Israeli papers, they had the whole context of what she said. But in the English media, it was just her saying, well, how horrible and tragic it was for her son to die and the other children to die. But they did not carry over her message to say that killing more people is not going to fix anything. They cut her off. But I want to continue the hypocrisy because we move on to journalists being killed. And of course, there's James Foley, who ISIS allegedly cut his head off. I mean, I'm not saying I doubt that it happened, but I have to let everything sink for a few days because we get lied to so much. But allegedly, they cut his head off, and I believe that. But how many journalists were kidnapped and killed in Syria? And I know someone you know, I don't want to bring it
Maya
up too,
Nasser.
yeah, was murdered there. And where are those stories?
Indeed. I mean, in 2012, there on my Twitter, you can see the picture of a Syrian anchor who was kidnapped and executed by the FSA. And you've never heard about him. And the hypocrisy, like, that I would like to point out is Twitter is banning the videos of James Foley's
Beheading, yeah.
beheading. So why then are they keeping videos of Syrians being beheaded? Are we sheep compared to Westerners who are actually considered human beings? I
Well,
mean,
YouTube's the same
our
way.
lives.
Yeah.
Basically, there's no problem to watch a Middle Easterner be decapitated because you're or even the children being pulled from the rubble because you can be it's okay to desensitize people to our deaths so that our deaths become something that just happens every day. But if a Westerner gets killed, cover your eyes. This is something too horrible to even think of or consider. That's the kind of double standard that's happening here. It's just
But it could
shocking that
also
Twitter
be
would censor it.
there are so many murders of Arabs and Persians and that they can't censor them all. And when the Westerner dies, it's just the one that's on film with his head, so it's easier to control. I don't know.
Perhaps, but I mean, why censor it? What's the purpose behind the censorship? I mean,
Well, I
why
don't
not
agree
just
with it,
censor
yeah.
beheadings in general? It's
Yeah, just say no across the board, or yeah, you have to have the same standard. But what is going to be accomplished by that? The US, since Reagan, has already had a policy that they don't negotiate with terrorists. And by that, I don't mean to negotiate behind the scenes or like, hey, go over and kill these people. But they don't cave in to demands. And ISIS knows that. So what is the real purpose of doing something so horrific, cutting someone's head off, who they've had control over since 2012? They captured him years ago. And to do something so graphic, it's really almost to say, come at me, bro. They get the opposite effect. It's not aimed at Obama, it's aimed at the American public. What do you think?
That's a very good interpretation. I think that's at least it's a very, very important question that you raised. And there might be a lot of possibilities and perhaps to get the opposite response. The question is, where did he die? Did he die in Syria or was he moved to Iraq to die? Does the US have an interest in airstriking Syria as well? I believe yes. Yes, I believe they do have an interest in airstriking Syria as well. And they want to use ISIS as an excuse. They've wanted to use Al Qaeda as an excuse to bomb Syria since 2012. I mean, they create these terrorists, they promote these terrorists, and then they use them as an excuse to bomb countries later. Since the war in Afghanistan, not the second one, but the first one, when they created Al Qaeda to begin with, and later they went back to destroy it in 2001. So it's just following the same pattern. And I think that the US does want to hit ISIS in Syria because they want control over the airspace, they want control over where the borders end and begin. And the only way to do that, though, is if the Syrian air defenses in the area fall. And the air defenses right now are in Tabqa air base that ISIS is trying to overrun. So when the Syrian Air Force is there bombing ISIS and protecting that air base and just flying all over Syrian skies and they're bombing ISIS in Aleppo as well, it's rather a message to the US military. Like, back off, this is our sky, our land. We look after it. We can take care of it. We don't need or want your intervention, and we do not accept your intervention. And that's why you wouldn't want to hear about. That's why the Western media doesn't talk about the Syrian airstrikes against ISIS, because they're still going with their copy of our and reversal of our narrative that we know to be true and have a lot of evidence for, that the US has been secretly backing Al Qaeda. They've
Yeah.
taken that narrative and they've reversed it and said Assad is secretly backing Al Qaeda. And now, and the airstrikes completely destroy that narrative, which has no evidence.
Which is
So,
why they won't report on that. I remember when
precisely.
Nick Berg had his head cut off, it was right after Abu Ghraib broke. And so after Abu Ghraib, that was horrible. But then seeing an American have his head cut off canceled it out for people emotionally. We ought to torture them if they act like that. Although it wasn't they who were acting like that. That was Al Qaeda cutting his head off. But this one, it's such a theatrical event, and I don't think these guys are just crazy or stupid. I'm not dismissive like that. This is calculated to get a response, and I think Iraq is such a hard sell that you need some extreme theatrical event like a beheading to sell this we're going in for humanitarian purposes. And I also wonder if he wasn't really a freelance journalist, if he may have been more valuable and like a spy, then that's a different message. And I don't have proof, but there's some circumstantial evidence with Foley had worked through USAID and Global Post, which are known CIA fronts. They kidnapped him, or they abducted him, he's not a child, in 2012 and held on to him for 2 years as a bargaining chip. What's the point of having a prisoner? It's ISIS. Yeah. But they kept this American for that long, and then they say, well, we got another one lined up. And so because that's option B. We got your agents.
This is a very interesting point because it brings me to two points that I want to make. The first being that if we look at, and I'm not saying James Foley was an agent, but just to consider the question, if you look at his circle of Michael D. Ways and of Matthew Van Dyke, which is like a failed CIA mercenary, and Austin Tice as well. Maybe I'm not sure if they were friends or related, but he was another journalist that was kidnapped. Austin Tice, in fact, was training the FSA. I mean, he wrote on his Twitter that he helped the FSA learn how to fire their RPGs. And these guys are these freelancers, you know, and they cross the border illegally. If you look at how many stories they write, it's very few. I mean, Austin Tice wrote one. I believe James Foley wrote one or two. But it's just journalists doesn't. I mean, they're a particular age. They have a particular physique. Journalist is not the first thing that you think when you look at them. I mean, we can't say for sure though because we don't have any evidence. Which brings me to the other point that. At the time in 2012, the Global Post was researching who has James Foley, and they wrote an article that the Syrian government has James Foley. And CNN copied this article and spread around.
Which they had no evidence for, obviously, because they didn't have him.
Yes, but even. I believe it was, sorry about this, not the LA Times, but something similar along those lines, actually contacted me and asked me if I knew of any government officials that they could speak to that might have, any information about James Foley. So it was the Atlantic. So they were, and I did ask, and no, there wasn't any. But they apparently, the Global Post then admitted just recently that they had evidence that James Foley was being held by
ISIS, okay.
Islamist militias, but that they kept it hidden because they were under request or advice by government officials. So.
Just
You know,
blame
that they
Assad,
just,
it'll be okay, right?
yeah, just keep blaming Assad, you know, like, what did they gain from that? You know, obviously it's a propaganda win, and it wouldn't be the first time they blamed Syria for everything that's gone wrong, and they've totally ignored their
Well,
entire role in it, which is to promote the insurgency, which has been, you know, the FSA, even the people that they call moderates in the south, were they not the ones who kidnapped members of the United Nations peacekeepers on the Golan Heights border, and then made a video about how they would be executed if you know money wasn't paid for them as ransom,
it's
and
not
then in the
hard
media.
to look like you're moderate when you're being compared to organ-eating psychos who decapitate people.
Well, the thing is that the moderates are the organ eaters, and they also decapitate people,
That's
so.
true.
They're not even being compared to them. They are the organ eaters. And the decapitators now, the ISIS, unlike the FSA, haven't yet made a video where they've cannibalized anyone.
Yeah,
So
not
we're
yet.
comparing cannibals to. Basically, the only difference between them is not their barbarism, but how far their borders go. Because the Islamic State wants the border to be the whole world, at least. You know, across many different states, whereas the FSA wants to contain it into Syria. That's the only difference. The barbarism of the FSA is, in fact, perhaps worse than ISIS.
Yeah.
It's just perhaps not on the same scale.
Well, knock on wood. Though they have the sense not to film it anyway, because they are trying to recruit, and that does repel people when you pull out and eat a heart. But yeah, I can see that too, definitely as well.
Well, there's no more, you know, there's no more of these so-called moderate. And you notice they use the word moderate because they can't use the word secular because these groups are not secular. Oh, and then one very important point I wanted to make finally about these moderates is there's a video of one of them being interviewed, one of the main generals who was, you know, next to Robert Ford. Who shaking hands with Robert Ford, they interviewed him about his relationship with ISIS. And he said, you know, I have a very good relationship with ISIS. We fought alongside them in very many battles, and then he's there pictured with them taking over an airbase in Aleppo called Menag Air Base. And I'm going to give you the links to that as well.
I'll stick it right
So,
below this talk. That is an interesting
yes.
point. But I'm sure somewhere when you asked, was that video taken in Syria or Iraq? It's just sort of a sand dune. Somehow John
Oh, it's
McCain,
Syria.
yeah,
Oh, sorry, yes, Claire.
he's just pacing around his room saying it was in Vladimir Putin's bedroom. Blame it on Russia. Oh, the propaganda is so thick. But I think now the US is more concentrated on their own goons, police killing unarmed teenagers in the street in Missouri. It's really bad. And that's all connected, though, because the surplus weaponry that the Pentagon has now sold to or given to police departments is causing the police state at home in the United States. And I hope people can make that connection to what's going on abroad. And in Gaza, in Iraq, in Syria, in Ukraine. It's all connected. It's a disgusting level of military spending and barbarism. And we've talked about the Muslim extremists. I want to call them Muslim, but it's just fanatics and eating hearts and everything. But the US has its own barbarism with depleted uranium, white phosphorus. That's just as horrific. It's a greater distance, but it's really hard to compare and say which is worse. The cancer rates are the
Absolutely
most.
right.
So, what are the borders they want to draw in Syria? They openly wrote it out in Iraq, but how would they like to balkanize Syria, according to
Well,
plan?
in that same map, that's, you know, the project for a new Middle East, they sort of drew the line for Syria as well. And it's similar to Iraq. They want a Kurdish north, a Islamic State center. And they want the coast cleaved off and to be either, you know, an Alawite Christian coast or a greater Lebanon, which will be, just for Christians and all of the smaller sects.
Oh, where the ports
So
are in case they export oil.
that's exactly right. So the point of the whole thing is to break up the state, remove its most fertile regions, and to make sure that it's landlocked, to make sure that, even during Sykes-Picot, the only part of Syria left that has coast, Tartus and Latakia, Syria proper actually had a lot more coastland. It had Lebanon in its entirety, and it had Antakya as well, which Turkey stole as part of the agreement to pass power over to the French. They were given a large chunk of Syrian land, some of the best land as well, the most fertile.
That is very interesting. So they're just drawing circles around resources and dividing along sectarian lines to cause infighting, which is also causes stagnation and weakens the entire area. And but one another point Darius Nazaroma has written about is he sees the clash of civilizations again, with the Christians being targeted and the U.S. not lifting a finger about that. Not that they're special above others, but they do have more in common, and it would gather more support from Christians in the United States, I would assume. So if you are a Christian living in Iraq or Syria, they're moving, and vice versa. And so you're having where everyone used to live together, it's becoming rigid lines again. Christians on this side, Muslims on the other side, gearing up for another clash of civilizations.
Well, it's interesting. You should note there was a Syrian Christian man interviewed recently, and he said that the powers that be, the US, the great powers, they want the Christians out of the Middle East. And I think that's been one of the policies for a long time. Even though they're supporting these sectarian groups, they then turn around and say, we're accepting. Oh, and they say that these groups are not moderate, and they're not going to bring any harm to the Christians. But at the same time, they say, we're going to accept all the Christians as refugees into Europe or into Australia or into the US
Out of
eventually,
the Middle East, basically.
out of the Middle East. So whilst they do not acknowledge that the groups they're supporting are sectarian, they acknowledge that they're sectarian enough to accept the minorities,
Exactly.
especially the Christians, not the Alawites. So.
Oh, well, of course it's going to go down like that. Yeah, so you see hypocrisy everywhere. We see it in the press, and of course we see it in foreign policy. And so we'll see now what's going to happen in Iraq. They've got a new regime. May they sign on to status force agreement? I don't know. How is Obama going to handle bombing Iraq, ISIS in Iraq, and supporting them in Syria when the Assad is fighting the same enemy? It's going to be a very hard sales pitch for the U.S., but I imagine they're just not going to talk about it and only focus on bombing these people who cut the heads off a journalist.
Indeed. And I want to also just make the point that it's not that this is sort of just happening and it's chaos and they didn't expect this. This has all been part of the plan. It's all been written down. It's following a step-by-step procedure. It's all, from wanting to get rid of all sorts of weapons of mass destruction or chemical weapons in the region, from Iraq to Syria to Libya, to wanting to balkanize the state, to the
That's
countries.
a very valid point, and you're one of the few people who agrees with me on this, because everyone else says blowback, blowback, unintended consequences. It's a Frankenstein. It's the monster they created that got out of control. But I read their policy papers, which were written before they took action, and they openly state that this is the goal, to balkanize. And there's that famous speech that Dick Cheney gave back in 1994 when they asked him why, after the first Gulf War, they didn't finish off and take out Saddam. And he says, because it would have been a quagmire, and we would have broken up the territorial integrity of the Kurds in the north. And so he laid it all out. So you know they knew better. It is not unintended consequences. It's, as Kissinger said, exporting chaos. That's what neocons do. its intended consequences.
Well, Obama said himself, and I'm going to have to not, it's not a direct, exact
I'm
quote,
paraphrasing.
but paraphrase him exactly. He said that we have to differentiate between local jihadis and external jihadis, and jihadis that are a threat to the US. Because local jihadis inside Syria, the US was happy to work with, even openly in some cases. So it just goes to show you that, they knew exactly what they're creating and how far-reaching it will be, and that it's not going to end up threatening the state. The worst possible thing that could happen is terrorist strikes inside the United States or Europe. The borders, though, are not going to be dissolving like they are dissolving in Iraq and Syria. The regions of like towns and cities are not going to be controlled by maniacs. Well, they already are, but I mean ISIS maniacs
Yeah,
in Britain and the US. But there's a limit to how much of a threat these groups are to the West, but they are of an extreme threat to the Middle East, and they understand that. And it's not like ISIS, it's not like the Syrians are going out of Syria. Syrian ISIS is going out of Syria and into Europe. No, European ISIS and West people who are have the ISIS mentality are coming into the Middle East. So what I'm trying to say is the terror threat is coming from Europe to the Middle East, not from the Middle East to Europe. And
that's in their
they
strategies too. They said draining the swamp, and they called it flypaper. Put the sticky part
flypaper.
here and attract all the terrorists and have them fight. And they just don't care about the civilians who live there, or they don't give a damn. We'll
Not at
just we'll
all.
suck them all in here and have them fight each other. That was the
It
idea.
sickens me to think that people would think that the US is attacking ISIS to save the Yazidis or for her humanitarian reason.
Well, I mean, I don't know if people do, but that's the official excuse. I'm not sure how many people are buying it. I think there's a strict divide between people who watch TV and people who read on the internet or watch things on the internet.
Well, unfortunately, there's a lot of Middle Easterners who are stupid enough to still believe in this kind of idea of Big Brother America coming in to save the day. I mean, I heard that there were some Christians or Yazidis that were like begging for the US to help. And of course, you've got those Syrians back in 2012 and calling for US strikes. And recently, the SNC, the Syrian National Coalition, asked for US airstrikes against ISIS in Syria to save them in Aleppo. But when the Syrian Air Force airstriked ISIS, they condemned them for it. So they condemned the Syrian Air Force for the same airstrikes they asked the US Air Force for. And it's just like they're really, it's a slave mentality that they have of maybe an inferiority complex. They just have absolutely no dignity to be adults and to take care of their own problems. They instead want to trust an external power that has nothing but malevolent intentions for
That
them.
has killed over 1 million Iraqis already. You would think they would be the worst kid on the block. They've
You'd
already
think that they
murdered
would
1 million
have that
people and you're
memory.
going to ask them for help? Absolutely
It's
not.
shocking. It's really shocking coming from someone who has lived there and been amongst people. And I think also a big part of it comes down to pure opportunism, because some of these Al-Qaeda sympathizers, such as this one guy in Australia called Zaki Mallah, if you listen to his social media tweets, one minute he's begging for US arms and US intervention, and even called on the US to make friends with Al Qaeda in Syria. He asked for them to make an alliance with Jabhat al-Nusra. So he's quite a funny figure over here. But then he turns around later and says, oh, the US didn't do this, or the US did do this, and that's why everybody hates you. They want the arms, but they secretly still harbor this animosity towards the United States, and they think they're clever enough to outsmart the states, when in fact they are the patsies. They're the ones
Yeah,
being
they're
killed.
useful idiots. They're the ones that
They're
are
the useful
risking. They might
idiots.
die. Nobody in Montana is going to get killed over it or something, of course.
They're being used to this armed Syria of chemical weapons with the red line. They're the ones who used chemical weapons on their own
Oh,
people
that
to get
whole
an intervention that
narrative
never happened.
about chemical weapons is something we should make a movie about, I think. Because that's definitely a film that ought to be made. It has been said, and so many journalists have reported on it, and how silly it was that multiple times they tried to claim weapons of mass destruction. Really, as you said, they just changed it to chemical weapons, which are still weapons of mass destruction. It's the same exact lie again, and people still fell for it. But that.
It's definitely we're living in Orwell's 1984, because it's not been that long since the first lie. And it's just hard to accept that so many people just have this instantly forgetting, just that we were at war with Eurasia, now we're at war with East Asia, and all that past is just erased.
Was like Netanyahu bombing Gaza, saying the Hamas killed the teenagers, and it turned out Hamas didn't kidnap the teenagers. Didn't matter. They started it anyway and said rockets, rockets. And the guest that's coming on after you is debunking. Theodore Postol's coming on. We're going to debunk the myth of Iron Dome and the rockets. Norman Finkelstein's coming on after that. We're probably going to debunk it some more. But I mean, that's been the excuse. And they just murdered all those children, to be honest. And so this is just disgusting, but I think the way to fight back is to have proper facts in media, because you are seeing the BDS start to take root. The Presbyterian Church, for example, has divested from three major companies they're doing business with Israel: Hewlett Packard, Motorola, and Caterpillar. And so if we can get more churches, maybe some more universities to do that. Bolivia, of course, Bolivia, less than a week ago, decided that to officially label Israel as a terrorist state, and they've stripped all the Israelis of their free visas in Bolivia. Now that's a big step compared to before.
Well, about Professor Theodore Postol, I want to give my respects, and I want to also point to his recent publication that's going to come out that basically debunks a certain individual who the mainstream media has been quoting as a chemical weapons expert. His name is Daniel Cassetta,
Oh,
and his
Danny boy.
associate Elliot Higgins. Who have claimed that hexamine found in soil samples is smoking gun evidence that the Syrian government
Use
actually
chemical
could
weapons,
use the
yeah.
chemical weapons. And I wanted to also mention that I'm going to be coming out with my part in the debunking of Daniel Cassetta with Theodore Postol, and the reaction that Daniel Cassetta acted against me when, because I'm a chemist by profession,
I know.
and yes, I took part in this scientific discussion that put holes in his claims, and his reaction to that, which I cannot get into specifics, but he basically wrote to my university some very defamatory statements. He found the names of my professors, and the dean and everything,
It
and just
sounds
wrote the
like someone
most
needs to go to the woodshed.
horrifying. It well, you know, I am having a defamation case against him right now, and everything's going to come out in time. But of course, my lawyer advises me not to get into the specifics just yet. But I would say wait a little bit and watch how this thing goes down, because it's going to be,
Well, if there's any way we can
explosive.
help you finance some of that, I'll try to do my part for that. And I get defamed all the time. I don't sue people because I, with what? But I will take them to the woodshed just to debunk what they say and all the lies.
Yes.
And it's just fun watching them squirm.
There are limits. I mean, if some things that if people say against me that
Yeah,
would be
but
your, you know,
going after
I can live with that
university
insult.
affects your
Wouldn't
career,
let it
affects
get
your
to you.
life.
But if it's something
Yeah.
like, as I'm not, I'm going not,
You
don't, I'm
don't
not
say,
able to
don't be
tell you. I'm
careful.
not
Don't,
able to
okay.
tell you. I'm not able to repeat it. But it just yet. But when it gets to that, you know, that's when you have to do something about it. I mean, I'll give you another case. Well, there's another case going on as well, where the Australian media did something so, but I'm
Good for you
now
for
in,
fighting them both, fighting back on both accords.
unfortunately, they actually have left me with no choice. I mean, if it was, if they had called me an asset apologist or something, anything other than what they called me, then I could have just let it slide. But they really left me no choice, because this is something that you can't keep standing.
Sure.
So
Well,
I
let's
will
move
discuss
off
that
it,
with you
just not
later.
to
Yes,
just
I'm
mistakenly
sorry to have
saying any.
taken over your airspace
Oh
with
no,
this.
it's your airspace too. Well, this is a discussion, so it's fine. But yeah, but that's the thing, you know, you're an activist like myself, and we get these well-paid academics and things attacking, in your case, a university student. You're just going all out of their way for what? Because they took part in scientifically debunking your claims. You know, grow up, I'm saying to him. And so, well, I'll have you and Theodore together in a later date when you're allowed to talk about all that, and we'll voice that out as well.
I would be honored, and I'm not sure what will happen, but we'll
I mean, I
keep that
haven't talked to him about it
definitely.
yet, but I'll ask, you know what I'm saying?
We'll keep that in mind definitely. So, with yeah, very much highly respected man, very professional,
Oh, I've
and
been a fan since he debunked the Patriot missile system, because I fell for that because I was a little kid when that was happening, and I just, well, okay, that's what they do, but nope. And that was all during the first Gulf War. They were given so much praise to the Patriot missiles, but they didn't do it at all what people assumed, and it's very similar to Iron Dome, actually. So, well, that program will be on Saturday, Japan time, Australia time, New Zealand, but probably in the next day and for most of the rest of the world. But yeah, that'll come out. But we'll have you back on, and we'll stick on some of these goons, because I hate them attacking people, especially my friends. And yeah, we'll
thank
keep
you
on
very
them.
much.
And if there's
I
any way
know.
we can help you raise money or something, we'll try.
I will maybe start steps towards that. It would
Do
be.
crowdsourcing, Indiegogo or Kickstarter or something, you know.
That would be great, because I really do want to fight. So, and there's unfortunately many, many enemies.
I
So.
know. Well, we'll do it. And I'm really glad to have you on. We'll have to do this more. We talk a lot, but we don't interview a lot, so we should do this more often to hash out what's going on. I wanted to get your opinion on Ukraine too, but we'll save it for another show, because I've seen you writing about it, and definitely. And yeah, don't worry about these assholes. You know, you're on the right side and telling the truth and doing good. And so I met someone randomly the other day in Japan who found out who I was and asked if I knew you. And the people in just randomly in Japan know your face, know who you are, so the message is getting out there.
Well, if he's watching this, and I did see the video of him saying hello,
Oh yeah,
just
it did.
hello back, and it really like it shocks and humbles me when people recognize me. It
It is
really,
neat, yeah.
I don't really expect it at all.
She
So,
said
and
hello to
I'm.
you owe me a beer. I don't even want a beer, but it's felt like something to say. Yeah. We gotta have some cheerful moments after you're talking about beheadings and cannibalism and all that. And I really hope, especially for the people in Iraq, to have to go through this again. And we can, I think the violence in Syria is starting to die down a little. There was a ceasefire in Gaza. Both sides broke that again, but they can't continue that for long. There's too much world pressure on the Israelis for that. I just wish we could get that kind of focus on all of these conflicts. So hopefully we can.
Hopefully another time then.
All right then. Okay, well, thanks for your time, and we'll have you again. We'll try and make it a monthly thing if we can, but and I look forward to talking to Theodore, and I will ask him privately about that, and we'll see if we can set something up for you, okay?
Thank you very much,
Thanks.
and see
Same
you
thing.
another time.
Yeah, see you around.